Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watched on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, Nadia. How's everybody doing out there?
What's up? What's up? I just want to start off by giving a quick shout out to a reviewer on Apple.
Nice.
Yeah, she gave us a really nice review. I just need to find it first. Whoops.
Let's read it.
Yeah, let's read it. Her name is Jessica. Jessica LH. The title is Love 'Em. She gave us a 5-star. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, Jessica.
April 24th, 2022. Thank you, Jessica. And the review says, I look forward to this pod, even though it runs a bit late. I usually agree with their point of view. So it's an easy, delightful listen. I've been a listener for a few years now. Bay Area represent.
Bay Area! Nice. Awesome.
Wait, thank you for that, Jessica. Is this one of our friends or colleagues? Maybe. But thank you so much, though.
We appreciate that so much. Thank you.
By the way, our rating is 4.3 out of 5, which I think is pretty...
That's pretty good.
For a 2-year-old podcast. So thank you, listeners. Thank you so much. I know we've got a lot of criticism in the beginning, and I admit we were not that great, but hopefully we're getting better. Hopefully you guys continue to listen to us. And let's get started with Bilal and Shahida. I know.
Oh my gosh. I don't want to spoil anything, so I don't want to look anything up, but like, these are all red flags, man. I think she just needs to leave.
Totally.
Family. Like, I thought it was just the sister, I guess, that helped, but apparently his entire family knows about the prank. So it makes it seem like he's the favorite son or whatever, and that he gets away with anything because they just seem to like roll with it and they didn't see anything wrong with what he was doing. They actually wanted to know if she passed his little test. And I don't know. I was just like, I didn't like that at all. And he was throwing her under the bus. Everything about that scene just made me feel uncomfortable. You're supposed to respect, you know, your partner. And if anything, you want to make her look good in front of your family members. So we'll get to Jibri and Miona in a little bit, but the way Jibri was defending Miona and saying, look, you know, she's already uncomfortable and y'all shouldn't be like roasting her and stuff. You know, y'all should be sensitive about that. But I would expect that that would be the same kind of energy that Bilal is bringing to the table. And he's not, you know, like, are you going to defend her? Or are you going to make her look good in front of your family? Instead, he's saying things like, you know, she lives in this fantasy land and she said X, Y, Z about the place. I'm just like, bruh, you set her up for that one. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got the reaction that you were expecting to get. Let's not play around here. He tried. He really tried and put effort into making things the way to get the kind of reaction that he got out of her. I don't know. That entire scene was so frustrating to me.
Yeah, I cannot believe he was talking shit about her in front of his whole family. I thought that was such a douchebag move on his part. What rubbed me the wrong way even more is the fact that he seems unwilling to want to have kids with her because he wants to see if she's worthy.
Yeah.
And that's another test.
Yep.
Like, what's wrong with this guy? Why is he putting her through some sort of test just to see if she's worthy? Like, I'm not down for that.
He said something like he wanted like 4 kids, right? Did he say something like 2 boys and 2 girls? And so in my head, I'm like, okay, so you're saying that, but like she's 37. Mm. And if you're saying you don't want them now, then when? 37 is already that like, hello, clock's ticking guy. Like, isn't that already like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think like once you hit your 30s, it's about that time, right? Like we're starting to stretch the clock here or.
I mean, I like to think that 40 is still okay to have kids, but it gets riskier. Like the pregnancy.
That's what the words I was looking for.
Riskier. I guess a little bit more difficult, I would say, to get.
Right. I'm like, how long is this guy going to make her wait?
Yeah. She's already
37, maybe 38 now.
I do not appreciate his attitude on that. And I'm also surprised that the mom is sort of in on the prank as well. And supposedly she is a doctor. I think she has some psychology degree, if I'm not wrong. She's a marriage counselor.
Yeah. And something like religious.
Yeah.
Like religious, relationship counseling or right. something.
That's
too.
What I read.
Like what?
And how is she not calling him out on this toxic behavior?
100%. Right.
Right. I still maintain that she should have standards. You should point out if the house is collapsing or dilapidated, like I called it, you know, in our previous episode. There's no harm, no foul in calling that out. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong. She's not saying things like, oh, this house is too small for us. You know, she's just saying like the state of the house is not what she expected.
Right.
And I think that's totally fine. But don't make it out like she's ungrateful. Because right. clearly she's grateful. So right. I just don't like how, again, I'm not sure if it's Bilal or if it's TLC, but they're trying to play up this angle of like foreign women coming to the US being gold diggers. But then they also neglect to mention that these men found these women. They're sex tourists in a way. They came to a foreign country looking for a wife and they act like they're able to afford that lifestyle. Like, you know, he came donning like Louis Vuitton, Gucci or whatever. And of course, like I said before, like, you know, if you don't want to track gold digger, then don't wear the gold or don't act like you got gold. Right. You know what I mean?
Don't present yourself a certain
yeah,
way.
Yeah. Right. But don't throw her under the bus in front of your family members. It's right. just vicious.
And there's also a huge difference between ensuring somebody's financially responsible, especially if they're supposed to take care of you during the time you have the visa process, you know? And I think that's more the angle she's coming at. Like, are you financially responsible? Can you take care of me? Are we going to be able to have a successful marriage? It's not necessarily she's into the materialistic things. It's not. Correct. Yeah. And I think the consensus, the large consensus on Twitter is at least from what I've seen is that's how a lot of people see it. But I still get a few responses, maybe one or two comments that say, oh, she was impressed by his Louis V and she's working the gold digger angle, you know? So I think there's still a small minority that on that side of the fence. And I'm just like, that's not it though.
Yeah. By the way, some tea to spill. Apparently Starcasm found a marriage certificate belonging to Bilal and Shahida. So I guess they are already married.
Oh, got it. I think I saw that. And it was from actually a while back.
Yeah. I think they got married last year. And apparently this is Bilal's third marriage, y'all.
Third?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So he better come correct this time, I feel. He better be better.
Yeah. So I think his previous wife that was actually on the show, she seemed nice too. Obviously, I don't know what goes on between two people, what goes on, you know, and how people present themselves on camera. But she seemed cool, you know. She actually seemed really nice and really super sweet and still very attractive. And I was like, wow, that didn't work out. How did you not make it work out with her?
Yeah. So. Oh, well, c'est la vie. All right, Lon, are we ready to talk about your favorite girl, Kara and Guillermo? Yeah.
They didn't really have enough scenes, I thought, this time around.
Yeah, I just thought it was stupid that they argued about buying a laptop and your money is my money now, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, okay, this is so petty and kind of overplayed. I mean, we've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. Like, why does Guillermo, like, first day in the US and he immediately wants a laptop and someone was saying maybe he has a porn addiction or something. His own laptop.
He's tired of watching it on his phone.
Yeah. Does he have a phone though? I mean, anyway. Yeah. You know what? Another tea to spill. They're already married too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, they already got their green card. They've already registered in the civil courts. So
they were already married while this was filming or not? What I'm trying to get at is, will we see on broadcast that this is all just being acted out as if it was fucking new?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, for Shahida and Bilal, they've married through the Islamic.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. But they registered already in, I guess, Kansas City, Missouri. So So yeah, they've married the religious way and the legal way.
Yeah. So I think Kara, I see both sides, but I think they should have talked about it first, because Kara is seeing it as his contribution to a pool that they both are going to share and try to stretch to make it work.
Yeah.
But he sees it as, no, what's mine is mine. Like, I sold my shit, so I'm entitled to that portion of the pool, and I want to buy a computer with it. I also think too that he's seeing it through a different lens. What's happening, at least from my perspective, is the way he's seeing it, he's approaching this as if, because he mentioned it again, that she's treating him like a kid. Mm-hmm. So I think he's not seeing the financial responsibility part. He's seeing it as, oh, she thinks I'm a kid again, and now she's controlling how I spend my money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's kind of belittling me and infantilizing me again. And
yeah,
I think he's approaching it like that. And he's
not, I think he felt a certain kind of way because of the baggage that he already has about her infantilizing him, right?
Yeah. Right.
But can we just be real for once? Like, why is TLC playing up the whole Kara being a cougar when the age difference isn't that big? right? Because Jibri and Miona have the same age gap as Kara and Guillermo.
Yeah.
And no one is calling Jibri like a cradle snatcher or whatever, you know?
I think Kara plays it up too, and I think she likes it.
Yeah. Okay, well, it doesn't help that he looks really young.
He does.
He looks really
baby face. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Like, just graduated from high school, even in high school. Yeah, he just looks very young. So did you catch the part where she said she's in real estate now?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I was starting to wonder, like, how is a balloon artist supporting someone over with the green card and everything? And I was like, huh. I mean, if she's doing odd jobs here and there, how is she able to support herself and someone's visa application? Because that cost too. And then she said, oh, I'm getting my career started in real estate. And I'm like, huh.
Right.
Well, I guess hopefully they'll showcase that in the next few episodes. I don't know. But I caught that and I was like, maybe she is starting out in real estate, or maybe that's how she earns her money to begin with.
Yeah. It's lucrative, but it's tough. Like, you don't get paid until you sell the house.
Right.
So that there are times where you can be on a drought. You know what I mean? You really have to bust ass. And sometimes the sales come easy, but sometimes they don't. If the housing market's down, you're just like, you're struggling for every sale you get. So I can kind of see that too, where like, it would worry me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we ready to talk about your second favorite, I guess, Miona and Jibri?
Yeah. Okay. So the more I see of Miona, the more I don't think she's really that bad. Mm-hmm. She does kind of bug out a lot about the whole living situation, but I think that's actually pretty normal. Mm-hmm. You know, I would get tired under living under another person's roof and under their rules, but I think she's rolling with the punches well. Obviously, she's putting pressure on Jibri, but I think that's normal, as what we've seen in previous seasons, right? With who is it, Julia and Brandon, like anybody living in their in-laws or future in-laws' place and living under certain rules and expectations when they just actually just want to live with their partner under their own terms would also kind of get tired of it too. But I think she's super sweet. She understands when to object and when to speak up. And she's non-confrontational, non-abrasive. You know what I mean? And that's how I would act. I know people that would flip out and act some type of way, but I think she understands her place. And she could, if she, you know, there, she could really get emotional and really be like, well, fuck all this and stuff. But she's polite about certain things, like, I'm going to go check on this. She goes about it in kind of a really passive, non-aggressive kind of way. And that's how I would be. I would be respectful. You know what I mean? And I see that. And then in private, she addresses certain things.
Yeah.
Right. So
she kept it classy.
Yeah.
she kept it classy.
She's all right in my book. So now what I was going to say about Jibri and Miona is I liked how he stood up for her, although I think he was being a bit too serious. Mm-hmm. I think his parents were trying to have fun and trying to play around, lightly roasting, right? They were just lightly roasting him and he could have had some fun with it, encouraged her to maybe have some fun with it. But I also admire that he stood up for her. you know, and that's something that we didn't see from Bilal. You know, for him to actually be like, can y'all like chill out? She's already nervous. She's already anxious. Y'all aren't making it any easier. And I was like, oh, that's another way to approach it. But when he was like glaring at the table and being unhappy, and the mom was like, are you okay? You know, I was like, yo, Jibri, like, chill out, man.
He needs to chill out.
Yeah, but I like that he stood up for her. So
I like that he stood up for her. I think he could try to level up on the adulting part, because if you're cooking frozen dinner, like, it's hard to get that wrong, but
right.
I can see why they purposely try to get that wrong. There's a term that someone used, and it's called weaponized incompetence. It's something Paris Hilton preached during her show on The Simple Life with Nicole Richie, where she said, like, well, if you fuck up once, they will never ask you to do that again. So when I saw that scene played out, I was like, yeah, of course she's going to fuck it up, because she doesn't want to cook again, because then the parents would never ask her to cook again, because they know they're going to get really bad food from them. And then I guess the internet obviously is blaming the parents for not teaching Jibri how to cook, or not being an adult that he is. But at the same time too, like, I mean, personally, I don't grow up cooking meals. Like, my mom does a lot of it. Like, I'm literally what Miona is or was. I mean, my mom did a lot of the housework, and she lets me focus on my education. Right. And I love her for that. But at the same time too, like, now that I'm married, even before, when I was living by myself, you know what? I can open up YouTube and follow a recipe. And I think that's not hard. So for them to mess up a frozen dinner, so it looks like it was done on purpose. And that's why I agreed with the term, like, weaponized incompetence, which is, you know, you just want to be bad at it so you don't get asked to do it again.
Right. I could totally see that. Also, too, I think I wouldn't put it past TLC to throw that in there for comic relief.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, let's just see what they do with this and how they fuck up, like, so badly. And then so people were on Twitter were like, they could have just bought food and put it on a plate, bought takeout
and microwave it.
Yeah.
They didn't have to like put it in the pot and like pretend to stir.
There were so
it.
Many alternatives. Like, totally. Said, why couldn't they just get something that you just throw in the oven for a little bit? Yeah.
Like, get some of those like pre-made dinner and just pop it into the microwave or oven and just call it a day. You know.
Yeah, I think the parents too would have roasted them either way. Yeah.
Anyway. Are we ready to move on to Emily and Kobe?
Before we do that, I did want to touch on the David beef. So I think that was a more important scene. So, So did you have anything to say about that?
No, I almost forgot about. Well, I know about the beef, but some people were speculating that it's probably because there was something going on between.
No,
there's some triangulation going on.
No way. With Miona and David.
Yeah.
What?
Triangulation, yo. Entanglements.
Entanglements. That would actually be
that
super
would make things awkward. I would explain a lot
of that. Yeah. The friction and stuff, and like, yeah, we fucking hate each other. Yeah, right.
Because we slept with each other before and we hate it.
Oh, wow. That would be an interesting angle. But the way it's playing out, I do worry about it a little bit, because that's Jibri's major like plan for income. And if she's going to not want that relationship to happen, then what happens to Black Serbs? What then is Jibri's plan after that? For me, that was just one of those things where, you know, like, okay, well, one, there's that whole familial relationship where he's like, well, that's my godfather and you guys are going to have to figure it out because I'm not going to fucking choose. And then she's like, well, you better choose and it better be me because the wife comes first or family comes first. He said he's family and Miona was like, I'm family. And he's not. And I'm just like, dun, dun, dun. Like, okay, what do you expect this fucking guy to do for money then? Because it's clear that his plan, put the mixtape out or whatever and see what happens with the recordings, get this record out, and then we can go to LA and do whatever. But if you don't want this to happen, you know what I mean? Like, what's plan B then? You got to figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a point. I don't know what else Jibri is willing to do for income. I guess continue with 90 Day Fiance, maybe. I don't know.
Model hats.
Model, yeah, model cowboy boots.
Yeah.
You know? Yikes. Yeah, I cannot wait to see what happens. I know there was a fight scene that's coming up soon, so I want to see.
Oh, and up to preview. That. Yeah, something.
Yeah. Well, what about Emily and Kobe? I thought they were cute. Like,
this is a really cool, cute scene.
It's a cute scene. I cry. I think a lot of people cry. How can you not? That's such a tearjerker moment. How can you not feel mm-hmm. for him? Right? It's like his first time seeing his son after 2 years of, you know, not physically meeting his son. And I thought that was like the sweetest moment ever for a dad.
Yeah.
And that was like the most beautiful.
He couldn't contain himself. Like he had to walk away.
Yeah.
And the frustration of wanting to hold your son and he's afraid, you know, and you're just like, oh, can you come? And he's all scared. And then finally he gets to touch his feet and she's like, don't touch his feet. He's trying to sleep. I'm like, can you give him a little bit? Just give him a little bit. Like, it's bad enough that he can't hold his own kid. It's taken him all this time. He actually is within touching distance.
Yeah, totally. You
won't even give him that. So it was tough, but it was really emotional. And Kobe is, he seems like a great guy, but as we all know, nobody's perfect. So the preview is already going to show him being jealous about booby sucking.
Sharing
boobs.
But he made a good point though, because I think for a lot of people, it's not common to breastfeed after 1 year. You're supposed to transfer to a bottle.
I don't know much about all that. I don't ever think about it, but
I mean, and I think this is all fabricated too, right? What else can we argue about? What else can we have conflicts about? Oh well, sharing boobs, there we go.
Yeah,
I do have to say that I wish Emily would have let him hold the baby. I think Emily was like, okay, the baby needs food, okay, focus on feeding the baby. I wish she would have just given the baby to Kobe and he could have at least held him, even if it's for 0.5 seconds, right? Just held him in his arms or something. And the baby would freak out because it's a foreign feeling, a foreign person. But at least let Kobe hold him in his hands and let him get a quick embrace, at least, you know?
Right.
But she was all focused on, and this is where I mentioned last week too, that she can be really intense, and that's why I'm like, why are you not letting him at least touch his little feet?
Yeah.
He just wanted to touch the feet, and I know the baby was trying to nap, but so what if the dad touches his feet?
Right. Baby, you know? It's one of those things. The baby will get over it.
Yeah.
Right? Let him hold it, and if Coben starts crying, all right, then you can always give him back.
Yeah.
Right? It's almost like that's the first thing I would have done was like, here's your son, hand him over.
That you've been waiting to meet. And instead she's like, okay, well, he's hungry. He needs to feed. And then after that, oh yeah, he needs to nap. It's like, where's the human connection?
I understand that like he's somewhat of a stranger to Coben, but if you treat him like a stranger, then he's going to feel like he's a stranger. Start treating him like that's the dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And let him get used to the dad's scent and touch and everything, you know? But anyway, can we talk about the elephant in the room, which is the body? The dad body?
The tidy whities, the tidy whitey,
and the dead body of a former international underwear model.
You know, I thought he still looked all right. I don't know.
I guess I had expectations because, you know, he was an underwear model. So I thought, ooh, okay, like who's this guy saying that Emily put on weight and everything? Like, bruh, you put on weight too. Like, come on, you have a dad bod. Like, she has a mom bod. Okay, you have a dad bod. So now you both are equal.
I think they both look great in their current state,
totally.
the way they are.
Yeah.
And he's a briefs guy, right? Boxers versus briefs.
I'm like, whoa. That's that indication of him being a former underwear model because he's so used to briefs, right?
Yeah.
All right. Shall we move on to Beanie and Ari?
Well, okay. Y'all know how we feel about Ari. But I really just have to say I'm in full agreement with every decision she was making from here on out. When it concerns his sister, let me take that back. Yeah, not every decision, but when it comes to him and his family and his sisters, like I'm on her side 100%. Like if someone throws a drink in my face, that's a line that's crossed and we're done. We're done. I'm not going to lunch with you. I don't want anything to do with you unless I have a formal apology. You know what I mean? And even then, I know where we stand. Like all that stuff where she's like, no, I'm not going to go to lunch or I don't care. Like I was totally there with her. I'm like, yeah, they can fuck off. Like I don't want anything to do with them.
So you don't think that Ari is being petty for not letting the sister say goodbye to Avi?
Well, I mean, I'd handle that differently. But I understand where she's like, well, I don't know. You can go talk to him. I'm fucking going in the van or whatever. Like,
yeah. So what we saw was that the sister asked to say goodbye to Avi. Mm. And obviously we saw Ari saying, hey, I don't want to give Avi to you. Like Avi's napping or whatever. And it's too cold outside. It sounds like an excuse. But then Ari went on Instagram and said, actually, I told Beanie that they can come into the van to say goodbye to Avi, but they didn't. Or maybe the message didn't go through. And all I want to say is I still blame Beanie because I think Beanie is being a punk ass bitch for not standing up to his sisters. Like if my sibling threw wine or water or whatever at my partner, I would defend my partner. Like you said, that's assault. And I would be like, can we all behave like adults? Like at least tell them off. But he was just nonchalant. Like he was just acting like, oh, it happened. Okay, well.
He allowed it to happen. He allowed it to happen. Set a boundary.
Right. Yeah. And maybe he's afraid of standing up to his sister. But again, that's why I still blame Beanie. I get it. Neither Wish and Mimi and Ari are angels to begin with, and both sides don't get along. But I also blame Beanie because he's not bridging that.
Right.
He's not being a good mediator. So I just think that he could have done a better job because I think I still maintain that it seems like he's pitting them against each other.
Mm. Yeah. He's definitely picked a side when he was like, yeah, we're going to go to lunch. And I just wish Ari, you know, would come and stuff like that. He's already putting the responsibility on her.
Yeah.
To show up after what they did.
Yeah.
Like, what? So I think the move to have them come into the van or whatever, or to maybe not see Avi was you can, but it's going to be on my terms. And the sisters being who they are, well, then fuck that. If it's going to be on your terms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Lon, we've reached the last couple. It's a new couple, Patrick and Thais.
Yeah. What do you think about Patrick?
Wow. I don't know where to start. You know what? Okay, I have something to say. I think he went to Brazil and installed that dating app thinking that he's going to get a one night stand and then now he's stuck.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Because
he was looking for a Tinder hookup and then he ended up being hooked. Yeah. He ended up cuffing.
Yeah. I found out his last name and it makes sense. He's half Brazilian. Maybe he was looking. So, but the funny thing is, my husband and I, Manny, who's originally from Boston, he cannot hear the accent from Patrick, but he can definitely hear it from his brother, John.
Oh, yeah. His brother, John, has the
pack the car. Boston dad. Yeah. Pack the car and have it, yet.
I put the car keys in my car keys.
Yeah. That's totally your typical.
No offense, like no offense, Bostonians.
We love you, Boston. I love Boston. It's like my second home. But yeah, what do you think of Patrick and Thais?
So I think they make a good couple for right now. I don't think we haven't seen enough about it. Mm. But Thais does seem a little bit controlling. And it's weird because I'm starting to see this pattern where it's like, how can you tell people how to act with their family members and stuff? Mm. And I get it. You want to start a new life and stuff, but like, you know, saying, well, your brother is going to have to leave, or I don't know if she's said that ultimatum yet, but she's like, you guys can't have parties. What? Like, you're coming to our place and you're going to put down like your rules and stuff. I'm just like, that really rubs me the wrong way when people, like, not just women, right? But anybody coming into somebody else's place and then saying how things should be done, like, especially when it comes to family members and stuff. So if I, you know, I think the brother was trying to be nice to her and stuff, but I would also be like, you know, also if I were John, if I were his brother, John, I would definitely maybe start looking for an apartment, or I would expect that, I guess, that, well, they're going to want their own space and all that stuff. So if I were him, I'd definitely start looking, but I just didn't appreciate her starting to lay down rules and stuff about how they were going to live once she got there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, damn, girl.
Yeah. Like, so bossy from the get-go. Like, why?
Yeah. But I do like that at least he's trying to speak her language and she hasn't tried to learn English, apparently, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Like, but he's doing his best to try to speak Portuguese and he actually speaks it. I don't know if it's fluent, but that's cool that they can communicate.
Well, because I think his dad is Brazilian.
Right, right.
That's how they learn, or
half,
he learned,
I guess, right? Or Portuguese or something like that, right? Or
yeah, he's
but Brazil.
Yeah, right, he's half Brazilian. Right, yeah.
The location tracking.
That's so Jasmine and Gino.
Yeah. So I don't know, maybe because I'm coming from it from someone who relates to him. He did it to prevent trouble. And I know exactly where that's at. But at the same time, too, it was because he was driven to that point. And that's the point I want to make. He was driven to make that decision. He thinks he did it of his own free will. Like, oh, that was my idea. No, fool, you got it incepted, bro. Like, she made you believe that was your idea. The reason you did it is because you said you didn't want to be bothered anymore about it. Like, she keeps texting him. She keeps asking for his thing. So rather than having to be troubled by it or whatever, he made the decision for her that he would turn on her location and she could just like verify all these things. And I've been there and I was like, damn, I totally relate to you. I think you need to fucking leave. That really isn't cool. And I know some people like the whole clingy vibe, but the thing is, it gets tired really quickly. And that was one of the reasons why he turned it on in the first place, because I think he was just over it. He was tired of getting the text messages. He was tired of her suspicions. He was tired of her probably not trusting. Oh, show me you're at home. Show me. Oh, you're here. Show me. So he's just like, fuck it. Here's my location tracker and you can just turn it on and verify for yourself.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have to come to that. So
hopefully it doesn't continue when they're together in the U.S., because that's such a ugly characteristic to have, you know, like when you're beautiful like Thais and still insecure.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I think it'll take a lot of work for it to end. A lot of internal work to kind of understand these things, similar to the whole Jasmine and Gino thing. You can see how, like, I guess, deeply ingrained that insecurity is. It's not going to happen overnight. Oh, you're here now, you know, and maybe that's the expectation he has or the expectation many people have. Oh, once she's there and they're together and stuff, shit like that'll change. No, like insecurity is insecurity. It's deep and you have to talk about it. You have to grow. You have to want to develop and you have to want to change. So I don't think it's just going to happen because she's there. I think if anything, it might even get worse. You know, she'll be at home. He's going out to install security alarms. And that she'll just be blowing up his phone again.
Yeah.
That for me, that's definitely a red flag.
Yeah. I think for some people, the red flag is obviously going door to door selling security alarm.
Yeah. It pays well, I guess. You said
$1,000 a day. Damn. Yeah. That's a lot of selling. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure if anyone cares, but I was looking up his whole career, his whole weightlifting, bodybuilding career. And it seems like he competed for the U.S. first, and then he got banned for using HGH.
Mm-hmm.
He switched flags. He competed for Brazil. And then he got banned again for using testosterone. So apparently his 8-year ban will end in 2023. And who knows, he might get back into it.
Oh, by then he'll be 33, 34, though.
33, yeah. Probably, yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, he can still do like small circuits. I'm not sure if he's like Olympic level, but who knows, right? I don't know so much about weightlifting. Maybe I'm not sure if it's age agnostic type of thing. I don't know. Maybe some people get better with age. I don't know, but
he should hang it up, man. I don't know. You cheated once.
Twice.
And then you cheated again.
Yeah.
Like the first time, it's a mistake.
Yeah.
The second time, come on.
And he admitted to.
He admitted to it. Yeah.
It was a bad decision. He knew what he did. So he was culpable as well.
Definitely. But it's one of those things, right? Where like, I believe in second chances.
Mm.
Do I believe in a third? That's yeah, you know what I mean? You had the second chance and you blew it.
Yeah, you blew it under another flag. Oh my gosh. So, Lon, we've come to the end. I guess this is episode 4
of
90 Day Fiancé season 9. What is your WTF moment?
For me, I think the WTF moment came with the location tracking. And I don't know how set up that was to just ask random strangers, hey, what do you think? What do you think about this? It wasn't so much the scene itself, but that
so random.
Yeah. But that it's come to this in this early in the relationship. Cause I want to like Thais. She seems sweet. She seems that way. There were a couple things that I mentioned already previously that to me were kind of eyebrow raisers, and having to turn on location tracking so that she could verify where you're at all times. And, you know, he expressed that she constantly blows up his phone. That's a huge, 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 huge red flag. And only because I've kind of been in that kind of relationship, and it turned out to be a really, really toxic relationship. For y'all that have been longtime listeners of this show, every time I refer to a toxic relationship, I'm referring to the same relationship. And all the red flags that I see in comparison to the couples that we have on these shows, like this was one of them.
Yeah. My WTF moment is, it goes to Bilal throwing Shahida under the bus and the family acting like he's in the right and that she should be receptive towards the family home that they fail to maintain.
Right. Oh, yeah. They're just as bad as Bilal at this point.
Yeah. Like they're complicit too. Like, come on. I don't like this whole them trying to, I don't know if it's them or TLC, but I don't like this whole angle of painting Shahida as a gold digger.
Yeah. To me, they're stretching it out a little too long. Has it been going for ever since episode 1 or something? And we're at episode 4 and we're still talking about this prank, right? It was mentioned toward the end of episode 1 that he was going to do it.
Yeah.
And then episode 2 and then episode 3 and then episode 4. Like, is this what we're going to do for the entire season?
Yeah.
The fucking narrative. Prank? Let's get over this already, right?
Yeah. Well, but I'm glad that they're already married. So,
yeah.
Everything else is just probably fabricated.
We'll see. I happy for them? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully she's rebuilding her life here and having a good career.
Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90dayfiancewtf. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. Don't forget to like, share, and follow the podcast.
Woot woot.
Yay, yay.
Lon, do you have any shows that you'd like to recommend?
Actually, I've just been trying to finish up Ozark.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think I mentioned that last week. I haven't gotten around to finishing all of it. There was something on, what was it? There was something on Hulu that I started. The Staircase, which is based on the true crime of Michael Peterson, where apparently his wife fell down the stairs, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's that. But my memory is failing me right now, but there was something else on Hulu that I started too that I can't quite remember.
Mm.
What are you watching?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I'm watching NBA playoffs.
Yeah, it's the playoffs already.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why.
Yeah, I know. I see you. I see your head. Yeah. I think I've been watching a lot of live sports on TV. I don't think I had the time to catch up on TV shows. I did start watching The Kardashians on Hulu. I know, that's such a guilty pleasure.
Should I watch that?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. There's
Is
like,
it just keeping up with the Kardashians and but under a different name, or is
yeah,
it
it
different?
is. It is a continuation of their life, their glamorous life.
Yeah.
Yeah, just on Hulu. And they obviously getting paid more. That's it. Yeah.
I was gonna say, well, listeners, if you're watching that, let us know, and maybe we can talk about that if you're interested in it.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to watch the Selling Sunset reunion.
Oh, I still need to finish that.
Yeah. And yeah, that's about it. I haven't been watching any other documentaries, so anything else that's not trash TV. Nope, not really. Sorry. I also started on The Real Housewives of Atlanta, which we just started another new season. So yeah, that's pretty much it. All right, listeners. Thank you for listening. And as usual, be kind to one another. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.